Nine times out of ten, the sermon about today's gospel of the Good Samaritan goes something like this. Recognize your neighbor in everyone. Don't be like the priest and the Levite who passed by someone in need of assistance. Everyone who stops and helps to alleviate the suffering of another person is a good Samaritan. Now, for the record, I want to say that these are very good sermons. We always need to be reminded to help our neighbor and to practice the corporal works of mercy, especially toward the poor and rejected. How we live the gospel each week is called the moral lesson of the story. But according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, there is also an allegorical meaning to the parable. In the allegorical meaning of the parable, we understand how the gospel relates to Jesus. What does this story tell us about Jesus? All the fathers of the church, like St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, St. Gregory the Great, all the fathers of the church saw, in addition to the moral lesson, an allegorical meaning to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Every part of the parable in an allegorical meaning has some type of symbolic meaning to it. Let's walk through it together and I'll show you what I mean. The robbers in the parable represent the three enemies of the soul: the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's why there are more than one robber. It's plural. Robbers, because there's more than one enemy of the soul. Now, the man who fell victim to robbers is each one of us. That's us. On our journey through life, we're attacked by robbers, by Satan, the world, and the flesh. By leading us into sin, Satan beats us up. He strips us of our beautiful white baptismal garment, and he leaves us half dead by the side of the road. Why half dead? Because although our bodies are alive, our souls are dead in mortal sin. Sometimes we find ourselves attacked by the world, right? There's people compassing us about, right? They're ready to beat us up, and they're persecuting us, and they're calling us names, right, for upholding the teachings of the faith, and they're just beating us over this spiritual head with this type of persecution. Other times, it's the flesh that leaves us weak and wounded by the side of the road, right? We're battling cancer. We're recovering from a stroke or a surgery. Perhaps we're trying to overcome an addiction. Any type of weakness of the flesh that leaves us weak and wounded by the side of the road. And we want to say, doesn't anybody notice us? Doesn't anybody stop to visit us? Doesn't anybody remember that we're sick? Doesn't anybody see that we're getting beat up here with intense persecution? Doesn't anybody care that I'm living in mortal sin outside of God's graces? Nobody stops to help. Nobody stops to alleviate these burdens. Sometimes, sadly, unfortunately, it's even the priest. It's even the priest who doesn't see what pain that we're in. Everybody is so busy, we just got to keep moving right along. The fathers of the church say that the priest and the Levite are allegories for the Old Testament. That the priest and the Levite represent the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and its inability to restore man to new life. Following all the laws of the Old Testament is not going to save us. Who can save us? The only person that can save us is the Good Samaritan. And I hope you know by now that the Good Samaritan is Jesus. Jesus is really telling us an autobiography. He's telling us a story about himself, because he's the only one that can rescue man from death. Look what the Good Samaritan does for us. He's moved with compassion. when he sees us beaten up by the world of flesh and the devil. He's moved with compassion. And so he approaches us. This is why Jesus became a man, why he left the right hand of his Father to come to us. He approaches us and he pours in oil and wine in our wounds and bandages them. The oil, of course, represents the oil of the sacraments, the oil of baptism, the oil of confirmation, the oil of the anointing of the sick. The wine is an allegory for his most precious blood. So he pours in all of the healing that he can possibly give to us in the sacraments, and then he puts us on his own shoulders, not on his own animal. He puts us on his own shoulders like a sheep. And he takes us to an inn, to an inn. The inn represents the Catholic Church, who will take care of us until the end of the world. Father Ronald Knox says that we always look for three things at an inn. He says we look for some type of food refreshment. He says we look for good company, and we look for repose or rest. And Father Ronald Knox says, this is perfect. He says, what refreshment the inn of the church gives to us as we feed on the Lord's body and blood. He says, what holy fellowship that we experience with God's chosen people, with future saints and with our heavenly friends. He says, what rest we get for our souls in the inn of the church when we hear those words, your sins are forgiven, and the rest and the peace the soul receives. Now the innkeeper that the Good Samaritan talks to stands for the Pope, for St. Peter and his successors. And Jesus leaves the innkeeper, the Pope, in charge. And he says, you're in charge of these weak, wounded souls. I give you two coins, which represents the Old Testament and the New Testament. The two coins represent faith and morals. And Jesus says to the Pope and those in union with him, you have full authority, and you have the Old Testament, the New Testament. You can speak infallibly on faith and morality to take care of these souls. Until I get back, until I come again at the end of the world, or until I come and take this individual soul home to heaven. So, that's the allegorical interpretation of this parable. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? You've never thought about that before. This allegorical interpretation brings new meaning to this parable of the Good Samaritan. We're the ones on a journey, and the journey's not always easy. We're the ones who are naked and beaten up on the side of the road, half dead in our sins, attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil, often ignored in our suffering. Except by Jesus. Except by Jesus, who always notices us, who always has compassion on us. Jesus, the Good Samaritan, who always approaches us to heal us of our wounds. Jesus, the Good Samaritan, who takes us to the inn of the Catholic Church, where we find the company of the saints, the nourishment of his body and blood, and everything that we need until his return in glory. Now, if Jesus, our Good Samaritan, has done all of this for us and has treated us with such great compassion, now we have the strength and the courage to go and do the same.